Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Friday morning. Great to be back home, back in the saddle again. Had a great trip out to Iowa. Denny and the crew did a great job. In fact, I see Denny's in here. Denny got up early this morning to show him how to get in the queue yesterday. Welcome there, Denny. I see Jeff and Fallon is up. I don't even know what time it is out there, Jeff. Karen's up. Good gracious, we got people up early in the morning to watch this thing. Some of you got to admit it, you're getting hooked into this, this cult. Well, it's an honor to be part of the cult. You say, well, Coach, you're the cult leader. Well, not on purpose, I'm not. I'm just a guy behind a camera just trying to spill out what I see is going on, and I want everybody to know you're free to believe whatever you want to believe. You don't have to believe a thing I say. You can still be part of the queue. You can disagree with me all you want to. What a time to be alive. So tip of the cap again to Denny. I should have been prepared to do the calendar today. I'm going back to Iowa next, the 9th and the 10th. We got to do an update to the calendar to get that fixed out. I'm going to go to Manchester, Iowa for another series of events. And folks, man, there's something going on. There's something going on. There's something going on. I said it to my wife again this morning. There's something going on. I don't know what it is. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there. Anyway, got a full show today. We were going to have Chance on at American Survival Wholesale, but I canceled him or delayed him. I said, Chance, man, I just got too much stuff going on today to talk about it. He said, no big deal. We'll cover tomorrow. I get to be on Hagman tonight. They're giving me from 7:15 to 8 o'clock on the Hagman Report. So those of you sitting around bored with nothing else to do, you can jump in there. And I'm going to talk about meet me at the pool. See, that thing confuses me because it used to be see at the pool. Now it's meet you at the pool. So, Jared, if you pull that up there real quick, it's now they've got a website called govpray.com. So Jared, click that up and get it up on the screen. You can begin to share this with your family and friends, and we have an opportunity. Gov, like government, government pray. In other words, pray for the government. Governmentpray.com. Meet you at the polls, and there the whole thing is laid out. Hey guys, we can make this happen. Now, I know what happened with the Target protest when we did that, and I saw how that thing took on a life of its own. So there's where you want to drive people to, because a lot of older people in particular are not on Facebook. In fact, a lot of them don't even, they don't even do the internet at all. But at least a internet web page is easier to drive them to than to Facebook. Okay, so it's GovPay, government pray for the government. GovPray.com. JR is going to have Kurt Knock on his show tomorrow, so you can get more of an update on that. I'm going to try to get Kurt on here later on. But this is a great opportunity for us to, you know, listen, for the life of me, can somebody tell me, why wouldn't a pastor in a church get involved in this? Wouldn't that be something if this grew, just grew and grew and grew and all across America? But something's happening here. So there you see that, govpray.com. Linda and all you guys, share that out there. This is a developing project. I'm sure more information is going to be put up there as we go. I know Denny Bryan from being in Oskaloosa, Iowa, that people are concerned. People are waking up more every day. And folks, we have to give them a vehicle and a way to be able to fight back. So just looking at a couple things here. Hagman tonight, 7:15 to 8 o'clock. JR is going to be having Kurt Knock on with him tomorrow in the morning. And,
10:15 a.m.
What's that?
10:15 a.m. And they can get to the show by just going to mmunited.org, mmunited.org.
That's the hardest thing about your show, by the way, is people never know where to find it. I'm just telling you. I don't know. You guys need to figure. You need to. There it is. MM United. If that's where it's going to be, JR, then that's drive people to that. Don't mention other web. Don't mention all these other places. Let them know where they can get on. MMUnited.org. That's where it's going to be, buddy. Let that be where it's going to be, because I know people look for last call. They go on the internet and sometimes I'm not making fun of it. I know how this works. Sometimes it's this feed doesn't work or that feed doesn't work or cloud. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
MMUnited.com. Okay. Now, I got to show you something here right off the bat.
.org.
I'm sorry. MMUnited.org. I'm going to bring, let's do this first. I'm going to bring David Arthur in here because David went to the school yesterday. David Arthur. Hey, Michelle Davis, you missed him. He was there. Missed a great chance to be out there and hold your signs, bring your wickedness out there. Missed a chance. David did infiltrate the schools yesterday. And I had quite a conversation with David yesterday when I was in the airport. And I want you guys to hear from him. And I got some great stuff to lay on the table. So for those of you who don't know, David Arthur had the opportunity yesterday to go to a suburban public school in Columbus, Ohio, talk to a group called Radical Political Science, seniors. There was about probably 30 kids per class, four classes, 120 kids. He got to take his book, hand it out. And David Arthur got to go in there and talk about the fact that you're not born that way. And I'm telling you, boy, that was penetration deep into the devil's camp. And I know Dave, and I know he'd never done anything like that, and I know how stressful it is, especially to do it for four consecutive periods. But Dave's got quite a story to tell us. David, come on in here, man. Fill us in on how it all went for you yesterday.
It's hard to think about it this morning and without getting kind of choked up, so I'm going to do my best.
Oh, quit acting like a sissy.
Yeah, I know. That's
me.
Man up, Arthur. But you know what? It was amazing, Coach. I was nervous when I went in. I was disturbed that there were going to be all kinds of hindrances. But the first of all the prayer was amazing because the classes were cut down. For this past week, they were going to be cut down because of a fire drill, like a routine that they were going to do. Well, on my way there, it started to rain, so the fire drill was canceled.
Oh, I didn't know that because I knew there was going to be a fire drill, but a rain canceled.
All classes were 52 minutes.
Oh, praise the Lord.
So I was able to be in there and just to be able to share my story, just giving testimony. Coach, they were awestruck. They were just, there was no, until the last class, but there was no.
You showed the pictures of who you were. You had your book there. You could show what you look like as a woman, all of that stuff, right?
Yeah, they were blown away.
These are kids who have never heard the other side. They never heard the other side. Go ahead.
They were, first of all, I started off every class with father commits suicide. Young boy naturally seeks male attention. Young boy molested by men in his life. Young boy recruited. So they were all like, the girls were grabbing each other's arm like, and then I said, and that young boy was me. And that's when you saw that they were human beings, and they're not just robots walking around like the Walking Dead. And they actually, you could see their emotion and their compassion. And they engaged. After my testimony, Coach, they engaged. They had questions. And let me say this, because I have to tell you this. As I'm sitting there talking, I was talking about truth. And in the back row, the guys go, pass the salt. And I said,
amen.
Pass the salt. And then a girl said to me, well, if you were raised in Philadelphia, how'd you get to Ohio? I said, well, I said, Pass the Salt Ministries, I said, has been a great part of me, of laying a foundation for me here. I was like, and, you know, I said, oh, she goes, oh, you know Dave? I said, yeah, I know Dave. And she goes, oh, wow. And then the guys go, pass the salt. You're in good hands there. You're in good company with Dave. And I was like, wow. I mean, it was like they were your friends. They were your friends. And you know what? You could tell as they came in, you could tell who were Christians. You could tell who were conservatives. And you could tell who wasn't. And you know how you could tell? By their appearance.
Isn't that the truth? Huh?
You could tell by their appearance. Some just didn't care what they looked like. And some made sure they were presentable and were good representations from head to toe.
So, David, you didn't lead with the Bible.
No, I didn't. But I wasn't going to talk about Jesus at first. I was just going to give my testimony. But once I got to getting sick and you know, in prison and then getting sick and being on my deathbed, I just started talking about Jesus, and you could tell the Christian kids, because I would talk about something and they go, like, yeah, talk about that. And so I would just keep on talking about it. And
But David, you won the secular argument first, didn't you?
Oh, of course. And that was the whole point, is that you're not born that way. I mean, the guy that went in the day before me talked about how there are a spectrum of genders and the males have a spectrum of genders for men and a spectrum. And I said, well, that's all nonsense. That's a lie. I said, that's just garbage. I was like, think about it. Logically, there's male or female. And then I started telling them about, well, there's a 52-year-old man that just divorced his wife and left his 7 kids so he could become a 6-year-old girl. And they were like, what? I said, yeah, there's a woman that married a tree. I said, and she has sex with a tree. They were like, you're kidding me. I'm like, well, that's what our thoughts and feelings do. That is what, because see, with our thoughts and feelings, it's limitless. There's no limits. Where there's no boundaries. And the one, and of course, you know, you've got the, well, what if we don't believe in your God? I said, well, I have atheists that tell me they don't believe in God, but they know that killing babies is wrong, and they know that homosexuality is unnatural. And then the last class, coach.
Bingo.
The last class had the most homosexuals in it, and the most homosexual allies in it. And these two girls were so, oh man, they hated me. They were fuming. The one kept trying to catch me up. She's like, well, what about all the other sexualities? I was like, what other sexualities? She said, you know, pansexual, bisexual. I said, well, first of all, I said, if you believe that there's all these different sexualities, then there's something wrong with you. I said, but really, I said, bisexual doesn't exist. And I gave an excuse. And then the girl next to her is going, what is wrong with you? I said, look, I said, I can tell that you and your friend, that your blood's boiling right now. I said, I can tell that you don't like me, that you don't want to hear what I have to say. I said, but it's the truth. I lived it. I know it. And you can't debate it. And they were like, what about asexual? I said, well, I said, worms are asexual. I said, we're human beings. We're not worms. What about intersexual? I said, what? You know, people that are born with both. I said, oh, hermaphrodites? Yeah. I said, never in history has a hermaphrodite been born with two complete and total functioning organs. Never. I said, see, I said, even after what we've done to our bodies with chemicals and GMOs and all this other stuff and drugs, I said, even then, the deformity that the enemy tried to have two sexes come out on one human being, I said, God still stops it and lets one of them be functioning. Oh. Oh, they were mad. The one girl couldn't wait to get out of there. The one homosexual was rolling his eyes. But I was encouraged because I saw lives change.
Amen, buddy.
Homosexual staring at me the whole time. I saw a homosexual reach over while I was still speaking because the whole class was focused on me. And he reached up on the desk and he took one of my books and he slid it right into his book bag. And then he just sat there like this.
Mm.
And afterwards he came up to me and he reached his hand out. He said, thank you so much for coming.
And David, you said another girl took a book home for her bisexual mother.
That was the one that was trying to catch me up with all the, she wanted to have it at the, she goes, well, Leviticus, this said, I said, well, I said, look, I'm not going to have a theological discussion with you. I said, until you know the Bible. I said, so when you actually read the Bible and not just learn one little section of it, I said, then I'll be more than happy to come back and have a conversation with you. I said, but until you do, we can't do that. And then at the end of the class, she comes up and she goes, I'm going to take this to my mother. I said, well, good for you. She goes, my mother will tear this apart because she is a proud bisexual and I support her. And the whole time I'm thinking, thank you, sweetheart, for doing my job for me and bringing my book to your mother who's confused.
Amen. David, hold that book up there. Folks, this is why David needs financial support. Look, show him that, David. Just kind of show him how big that book is. He gave out a bunch of those yesterday. He gets those printed. Those things are not free. So imagine this, 100 of these things circulating throughout Worthington Kilbourne High School today.
They said, can I have two? I said, you can have three. I have somebody you want to give this to. One girl said, well, in my church, my pastor's a homosexual. She says, what would you say about my church? I said, well, I said, I don't want to attack your church or you know, put you in the spotlight. I said, but I said, I deal with church, with buildings like that that call themselves churches. I said, and scripturally, your pastor's not a pastor. Scripturally, that building you go into is an apostate church. Oh, and then she comes up at the end, kind of, can I have one of your books? I said, you can have two.
David, don't you feel, listen, I'm going to open up. I'm sure some folks have some questions here. Don't you feel, David, that you brought, what's the word, hope and courage to the average kid sitting there?
You know, I said that in every class. I said, I don't care if you want to hear it, if you want to believe it. I says, I don't want you to take anything from me but hope. I want you to have hope that the people that you love that are trapped in that darkness, that there's hope for them. I said, and I want you to have hope if you're struggling with something. Because I looked in the eyes of some of one boy specifically that I could tell with the way his lips were trembling and the tears that were in his eyes, I knew that something was going on with him in his life and he was being abused. And that's all I wanted them to get, Coach, is hope. I wanted them. Hope.
Anybody in the queue got a question for Dave?
I just want to say, Dave, you give me hope and encouragement, man. That was great.
Truth wins, doesn't it, David? Truth wins, buddy. Truth wins.
Amen. Hey, David, did you get a chance to connect with the leadership in the school afterwards? Are they the ones that are going to try to put a squash to this because of the effectiveness? Anything from them?
Well, actually, the teacher that ran it, oh, and there was another added bonus was that there was a class in that room before we went in. Well, there was some kind of professor or teacher from OSU sitting in. So he asked the teacher of this class, can I sit in on your first class? And he said, yeah. And it was perfect because he sat there the whole time with his face all scrunched up, looking at me like I was crazy. But when he came up, he says, can I take one of them books too? I said, you sure can. I said, here. I said, you're from OSU? He said, yeah. I said, here, take these.
You planted landmines all throughout Worthington, Ohio. We don't even know.
It really was. This was an opportunity that I'm telling you. I thought about this all night, all morning, and this was probably the most important and effective opportunity that I've had. Because I can go preach to the choir all day. I can go to the parades where I might connect with one or two or three or four. But to go into the public school where they're teaching them that they can be gender fluid, and that they had so many questions that were just blowing my mind, because they were like, well, what about homosexuals that are living monogamous relationships? They're happy and they're married. I said, they're lying. I said, listen, there's no such thing as a monogamous relationship. I said, whether the cheating be with pornography, self-love, in a video bookstore, putting your thing through a hole in the wall. I said, or going out and sleeping with somebody at the club. I said, the older they get, they want to bring in what they call twinks. They want to bring in these kids, these young boys into their relationships. I said, you really don't know the people that claim that they're happy. I said, because I claimed that I was happy too. And they were just amazed. But I'll tell you what, after each class, those that you could tell were conservative and Christians came right up to me and were like putting their hands out. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you. Mm-hmm. They were writing down the information. They were writing down my email, writing down the website, writing down the, after the first class, I put the alphabetmanlive.com website up there, and they all wrote that down and wrote it down on their note sheet and in their notebook. And I was just blown away by the way they were just rated. That they all wrote down the email, and I'm just waiting.
Were you able to record it, Dave?
I do have it audio. The last two classes, I to go through the audio.
Go ahead, Chad.
Hey, well, David, I was just going to say, buddy, that, man, I'm really proud of you. It took a lot of courage to go in there and face those people, but this is the battleground. Young people is the battleground. Look, all of us are getting older now. Hey, we know how to turn away from it and all that kind of stuff, you know, from sin and stuff. We learned the right way. So I just want to encourage you, anyway, man, I just want to tell you, me personally, I'm proud of you, you know.
Hey, David, I want to tell you, it's a perfect counter to Drag Queen Story Hour. I want to join you in some way. I mean, you know, because, listen, when people see a 6'4", minus 300-pound guy say that he's molested and he was able to stop it, I think that would also encourage people. So I got something along those
lines. David, I just thought about that. You and I ought to load up in our car and find out where these perverts are reading in libraries, we ought to go.
Yeah, really should. They have a whole schedule. They lay it out. They're proud of it.
Yeah, well,
they're advertising it. And people, not parents, but people are bringing their children.
Amen. Getting alive. Getting one side.
Yeah.
Hey, okay, David, this I hope is you Jeff get to Fowl. Take that to more schools. I hope you get to take your message to more schools.
I hope so too. And like, as far as like being invited back, the teacher was encouraged. According to him, this class, the students really determined, because like they even have somebody from Westboro Baptist Church come in, only because he said, I'm not sure I wanted them to come back, but the students wanted them to come back because they, you know, they're the other extreme. And so when a couple of the classes, when they were like, well, thank you for coming and shaking my hand, this and that, they were like, well, yeah, we can't wait to have you back. We can't wait to see you again. We're, you know, and I'm like, wow, that would be awesome to be able to come back. And
hey, David.
And, you know, you got to appreciate that courage of that teacher also. I mean, even though he may be offering several things out on the spectrum, still, it's still pretty risky.
Well, not only that, Chad, if you remember last spring, I spoke about the fact that I was going to go into the class and wanted to take David with me, and he wouldn't let me do it because, well, we understand why, but give him credit, man. Here we are 6 months later, and I got it all set up now. Go ahead and bring him on in here. So I get that's Dave Strauss-Kahn, and I give him credit for doing it, man.
Hey, David.
Risky on his part. Hey, man.
David, some of them, you know what? Some of them were just hungry for the truth, and you gave it to them. Thank you.
Yeah.
They were hungry for the truth. They really were. I looked in their eyes, and I saw that. And it wasn't me. It was the Lord, but he spoke to them with authority.
Amen.
And I looked in their eyes, and I saw that lives were being changed because they were seeing something that they haven't been presented before.
Okay, so consider this. Consider this, David. Consider this. That same bullying spirit that will not permit you into churches. The average person sitting in the church would want to hear your story and hear that truth. But why doesn't it get into the churches? Because the pastors are afraid of the bullies who have homosexual children and don't want to hear the truth. So they're no better off. Those people who are blocking you bringing the truth into that church, they're no better off than the people we see out in the street protesting Kavanaugh. They have viewpoint discrimination, and they are not going to let it in. And shame on those in the churches that are letting those people win.
Hey, Coach.
Yep. Yo, Paul.
I was just going to say a couple things. Number one, what makes you so powerful is that a lot of times people may doubt your testimony, but they can't take away your experience. And you experienced those things, David. And that's what makes it so powerful. And
that,
number two.
That's part of it. Go ahead, Paul.
Number two, that is how schools are supposed to be, an open forum where people discuss ideas and different thoughts. And that, and then, you know, that's the way schools are supposed to be. So, like Chad said, that's commendable, that school that's allowing that to happen, you know. But I tell you what, man, that was some powerful stuff.
I'm telling you, landmines all over that place. There are hundreds of those books circulating about that community.
What was really powerful was that not one of these high school kids said they didn't believe it. They didn't say I was a liar. They didn't say, well, I can't believe that, or that's not true, or that doesn't happen. None of that. Because it was my own experience.
Overcome them, David. You overcome them by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony.
And that's what it was.
They can't deny the testimony, folks. They can't deny it, see. They want to prevent it because they can't deny it.
Well, I mean, look at how – see, you know, I say all the time, even on my show, I say about how, hey, guess what? They are biting off their noses to spite their faces. And we're getting so many people, they send me articles and they're like, oh, look at this. This is an outrage. This is horrible. No, it's not, because they are putting it out there and people are waking up because of what they're doing.
Amen.
So here they were. Here's this young girl. I'm going to give your book to my bisexual mother because I'm proud of her and she's proud and I support her. Well, thank you that your anger and your confusion is going to help the cause, basically.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Then I want to move on to something else. She can catch David's show at 9. I'm sure he's going to talk.
Hey, talk. David, this is Brother Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff.
I was preach outside the high school, and a group of 15 kids support the homosexual agenda were out there. And last year, I showed the book of Mass Resistance about the dangers of homosexuality and psychological hazards. And then this year, I brought it out, and the two lesbians go, oh, oh, and they couldn't talk to me anymore. So that lets you know something there.
That's a powerful book, and I actually spoke about that book yesterday. I told them, I said, you need to look up a book that talks about all the health hazards of homosexuality. I talked about the life expectancy of homosexuals being between 40 and 50. You know, I talked about all of the hazards from all this transgenderism garbage, about the hormones and puberty blockers and all that kind of stuff. Talked about how thick that book was, is about the health hazards and all of the different health hazards. And they saw it. They saw with the osteoporosis, they were in amazement. They're like, osteoporosis? And I'm like, yeah, it's an elderly woman's disease. I got it because I took hormones. I said, and so will your friends if they take hormones. And they're like, you know, so they're singing it. And they're being
amen. Amen. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, bless you, David. It's invigorating, is it not? It's invigorating. And it's so powerful to stand before them knowing you know the truth. And you don't have to be afraid of not one question they answer. Because you know it's a lie. You know every question they're about to ask you is a lie, and you can refute it. It's great power, isn't it? It's great. It's so invigorating, man. Well, God bless you, buddy. Folks, we have to keep David in prayer because you think the homosexuals in Worthington and in Columbus are going to take this lion down, huh? You're smarter than that, right? And as I said yesterday, he needs financial support. Those books cost him about, I'm guessing, $100 and a quarter a piece to produce, guessing ballpark. So if he went in there yesterday and gave out 100 books, you do the math on it. And he needs your support. So love you, man. Great job yesterday. I would love to have been there. I won't miss the next one. And we're going to try to, hey, folks, get him in your church. Get David invited to your church. Then you find out where your pastor really stands. My most not so humble opinion, right? Okay, cool. I got something. Catch David show at 9. I got a couple great things. Hey, Jared, pull up. It says, I got to show that. Yeah, show this. Pull up. It says Feinstein Solus. I saw this yesterday, guys. I'm telling you, we are dealing with people. Is it possible for a person to be without a soul? Is it possible for a person to have been so, their conscience have been seared so badly that they don't really even have a soul?
Reprobate mind, absolutely. Absolutely.
I want you guys
amen.
To see this. This is a minute and a half clip. Now, this is Dianne Feinstein yesterday, okay? Somebody took this picture. What's his name? Chuck Schumer is speaking, okay? And Chuck Schumer's going on about Kavanaugh and the FBI, what a lousy investigation. By the way, they love the FBI when they're after Trump, don't they? Boy, they hate the FBI now. They're incomplete. They're incompetent. They didn't get the right. So anyway, see the way the game's played. But while Chuck Schumer is standing and addressing all of these, this whole thing, this whole Kavanaugh thing, Dianne Feinstein, somebody puts the camera and keeps the camera on Dianne Feinstein. I want you to notice two things. Number one, you think she thinks she's winning? And number two, I want you to see the eyes are the window of the soul. She is either soulless or dead inside. As you watch her react, she is in the room. Schumer's putting up a good facade, a good fight, and she's standing right beside him, and she don't even believe it. This is about a minute and 30 seconds. Go ahead and play it, Jared.
All around me are familiar faces, worn out places, worn out faces, bright and early for their daily races, going nowhere, going nowhere. Their tears are filling up their glasses, no expression, no expression. Hide my head, I wanna drown my sorrow. No tomorrow, no tomorrow. And I find it kinda funny, I find it kinda sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad
world. Boys, the eyes are the window to the soul. You know what? Here's what I saw, or here's what I heard. The FBI has been investigating this entire thing ever since Christine's Ford was name was floated. The name was, the FBI has been investigating it ever since that moment. And Feinstein knows her goose is cooked. It's treason what she's done. It's treason.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Kind of reminds me, you ever seen the murder trials where guys commit heinous acts? They're so, and they come into these trials, they look like they're mealy mouthed and all. Well, it's because the demon that possessed them left them.
and it's
done its thing, and now it's moved on, and that person is just a shell. That's what she looks like. She looks a shell.
She looks like a pathetic 85-year-old grandma, doesn't she?
Yeah.
That's what she looks like. Pathetic.
She looks like a woman with a lot of regret.
All right, boys, so listen, I'm going to connect the dots. This is why I love my wife. Dear God, pull up 1 Thessalonians 5. Michelle, we were sitting, as I was doing some prep this morning, drinking my coffee and sort of half paying attention to her and sort of half not paying attention to it. You guys know what I'm talking about. And she said, honey, listen to this. And she read to me from 1 Thessalonians 5:15. And let me read down through this, and then I have to show you what happened to me, okay? This is how the Holy Spirit speaks to me, okay? So I'm in 1 Thessalonians 5, and it says this. We'll start with verse 5. I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You are the children of the light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and for a helmet and the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath. See, it ain't got nothing to do with the rapture. Anyway, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. See, his wrath has to do with salvation. He gave us salvation so we don't have wrath. This is not about the rapture, by the way. That just popped out. Wow. Who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. What? Wait a minute. What? Sleep? Oh, I could tear this one apart. Is dying sleeping? Who died for us whether we wake or sleep? Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also as you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren. This is where I'm heading. This is where my wife started reading to. Warn them that are unruly. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but follow that which is good. both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearances of evil. Okay, I'm going to stop, because when my wife was reading this to me, the Holy Spirit grabbed me and locked me down on 15. She kept reading, and I didn't even listen, because remember I told you how sometimes he taps me on the chest or a word jumps out and you hear it. And I heard the Holy Spirit. Go to 15, Jared. Look. Oh, I hit my camera. I get too fired up here? Yeah, there. I'm down a little bit. Let me help you. That's a little better. Okay, now look, folks. Look. This is what jumped out. Michelle's reading it to me. I'm not reading it. I'm listening to it as she's reading it to me. And she read this. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. Boom! I couldn't move. She continued reading, and I couldn't get past that. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you render good for evil. And I'm thinking, yeah. And the Holy Spirit, I think it was him, said, well, what would be good to evil? If you're not supposed to render evil to evil, are you supposed to be nice to evil? Is that what this says? Be nice to evil? No. When evil shows up, I don't want to act like evil. I don't want to return evil to evil. No. You know what I want to do? I want to bring justice to evil. That's good. Bringing justice to evil. I couldn't get by it. I could not get by that. That whole time Michelle's reading that thing, I said, oh, Lord, are you telling me that we think pushing back and fighting back is evil? Amen, brother. Somebody give me an amen. We've been taught in the church to fight back is evil. And I'm going to tell you this, to not fight back is evil.
Well, coach, you answered it in verse 14 right there, to warn the unruly. Warn the unruly.
But they say, well, brother, don't return evil for evil. You know what? When I ignore injustice, I'm returning evil for evil. Ignoring injustice is evil. It's evil.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer, silence in the face of evil is evil itself.
There you are. What are they teaching you in church? Oh, you don't, brother, just love them back. Well, you know what I'm going to do? Hey, Dale, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to render justice to evil. Because why? Because I love the victim. The one who is being crushed by that. See, the greatest, Isaiah 59, Jared, go there. Isaiah 59. All right.
Hey, Coach, as you're going there, I want to go back. I did send you a couple pictures there. You're asking, can a person not have a soul? And I've lost friends over this one. I have a picture of Frankenstein and Dianne Feinstein. They almost look alike. I said one was created by evil doctors and the others were created by evil politicians.
I'll see if I can get this to Jared here. Let's see. Let's do that one.
A lot of similarities there, even their last name.
Amazing, huh? Hang on here. We'll get it up there. They do look the same, Jared. And that one?
Well, heck, I'd say that she's an evil by doing the evil doctrine.
Well, but Chad, you understand, we've been taught to not return evil for evil means to, well, just don't fight back. Just let it go. No. Listen, if I see some little Chad, kid.
Turn the other cheek stuff. Turn the other cheek.
Yes. What I'm reading. Okay, so stay with me. I'm in Isaiah 59. Jared, let's go down to verse 4. Let's start right there at verse 1. Folks, I'm trying to connect the dot for you here this morning. All right? Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you between you and your God. Now, hey, folks, do you ever hear sins of omission and sins of commission? Do you know it can be a sin to not do something that you ought to do? Do you know that those sins separate you from God just as much as the sins of commission? And your sins have hid his face from you that you will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness. None call for justice. Nobody's out there fighting for those little unborn babies. Nor any pleadeth for truth. David is pleading for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and they weave the spider's web. That he that eateth their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into viper. The webs, think of Washington, D.C. The webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity. The act of violence is in their hand. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. And their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in the past, a way of peace they don't know. And there's no judgment in their goings. And they have made them crooked paths, and whosoever goeth therein shall not find peace. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither does justice overtake us, but we wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for a wall like a blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in night. We are destined places of men. We all roar like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it's far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before us, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our sins, we know them. In transgression and lying against the Lord, departing from our God and speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice stands afar off, for truth has fallen in the street, and it cannot enter. Yeah, truth has failed, and he that departs from evil makes himself the prey, and the Lord saw it, and he was ticked off that there was no judgment. That's great sin we're engaged in. Great sin. When we see, folks, I hope you're following me. To return evil for evil is when we see the evil, we let it pass. Oh, man, what a revelation of God. You guys still may not have it.
But coach,
when I know to do good and I don't do it, that is as evil is. And the Lord said, don't return evil for evil. So in other words, when they're doing evil, don't let them get away with it.
Amen, brother.
But look, coach, I'm not called to that.
Amen.
There's Feinstein and Frankenstein on your screen. Look at this. David just sent me that. See if they don't look the same.
Separated at birth.
Separated at birth.
But
hey, coach,
that video shows her eyes exactly like Frankenstein, looking around, downcast. So
it may be him reincarnated. I got coach, more. Just this up. Go ahead.
I take this kind of personal because I'm from the Bay Area, and Dianne Feinstein was the mayor of San Francisco at a time, and the actual culture in that area is so whacked, evil. And I preached in San Francisco one time, and it's just amazing. And I see the possession that people have and the persuasion of evil over people. And I think of that web that Satan's have and that crooked path it makes. And it's what it says in Isaiah 59. I really take this personal, and it just drives me to go out even more and be motivated to talk to people about God and warn them about the dangers that they're going to face, the God's wrath they're going
to
face.
Ignoring them is evil. Hang on with me, guys. I got somewhere I got to go yet. Jared, go to Webster's for me. Go to Webster's. There's two things I want us to look up in Webster's. Number one, boy, this is amazing. Jared, look up evil. Having bad qualities of a natural kind, mischievous, having qualities which tend to injure or to produce mischief. Having bad qualities of a moral kind, wicked, corrupt, perverse, wrong, unfortunate, unhappy, producing sorrow and distress. Evil is natural or moral. Natural evil is anything which produces pain, distress, loss of calamity, or which any way disturbs the peace, impairs the happiness, or destroys the perfection of natural beings. Moral evil is any deviation of a moral agent from the rules of conduct prescribed to him by God or by legitimate human authority, or it is any violation of the plain principles of justice. Evil is what? Violation of the plain principles of justice. What's the church teaching? Just love them anyway, brother. Just love them anyway. Really?
Hey, Coach, we're under a new covenant, so the Old Testament doesn't apply to us. Remember?
Yeah, that's right. It doesn't apply to us. Yep. Okay, so I got reading down through that. I said, well, heck, okay, then, wow. Well, what is justice then, Jared? What is justice? Ask old Webster there. What's justice? Well, justice is a virtue. It's a virtue which consists in giving to everyone what is his due. Practical conformity to the laws and to the principle of restitude in the dealings of men with each other. Honesty, integrity in commerce or mutual intercourse. Justice is distributive or commutative. Distributive justice belongs to magistrates or rulers and consists of distributing to every man that right or equity within which the laws and the principles of equity require. Commutative justice consists in fair dealing and trade and mutual intercourse between man and man. Justice. Sometimes justice demands punishment, right? For vindictive retribution, merited punishment, the right application of equity, the strong arm of justice. With me? Stay with me. Hey, boys, they've been lying to us. They've been lying, telling us to love the wicked. That's a lie. They have been lying to us. We are not to love the wicked. We're to bring justice to the innocent. That's what we're supposed to do. And to not do it is wicked. Hang on, I'm not done. So look up cowardice, Jared. Cowardice.
Love the wicked is exposing them so that they can become unwicked before it's too late.
Want of courage to face danger. Timidity. Pusillanimity. I said, what? Yeah, pusillanimity. Well, Jared, what the heck's that? What's that? Well, that's, want of that firmness and strength of mind which constitute courage or fortitude, weakness of spirit, cowardliness, the feebleness of mind which shrinks from trifling or imaginary dangers. It's obvious to distinguish between an act of pusillanimity and an act of great modesty or humility. And see, that's what we are. We're shrinking from it. It's pusillanimity. We're shrinking from our responsibility to be strong, even though the task at hand is difficult. That's what we're for.
And Coach, if you compare what you read in Thessalonians to Revelation 21:8, the very distinct difference is in Revelation 21:8, but for the cowardly and unbelieving. There's a difference right there. Who are the cowardly? Because they're not the unbelieving. The unbelievers are listed. And so when you go back to that, what is it that we are to do? We are to warn them who act unruly.
So when we see evil, and we're not supposed to return evil for evil, that doesn't mean we ignore it. That doesn't mean we bless it. That means we fight it. And if we don't fight it, that's evil. That's evil, boys. Now, well,
And what the church does, Coach, is that we codify it. We think, oh, if we just embrace and we love it, that we'll change them. Are you kidding me? That thing will bite you.
Just love them, brother. Who are you to judge? We're all sinful beings. Well, if I'm in sin, I hope somebody corrects me. I hope somebody loves me enough to don't let that pass by. So, Jared, just me, you know, me and the Holy Spirit, I read it and read and read it. And finally, I said, okay, Lord, the heck's a cockatrice?
Hey, Coach, I have a question.
Cockatrice's egg. Just good. Hang on, Paul. Cockatrice. Never heard such a thing. Why, it's a serpent imagined to proceed from a cock's egg. Pardon me. That seems a little weird, doesn't it? A serpent imagined to proceed from a cock's egg. Google that baby and you are going to say, oh my goodness. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I just had a question. You know, when churches tell you to love and all that stuff,
Isn't that in regards to each other in the body of Christ, not to evil out in the world? Isn't that right?
Sure, certainly it is. That's right. Okay. We're talking about believer to believer. However, Paul, evil's got to be confronted wherever it is. It has to be confronted. Yeah. See, you know what would be people think this sounds vengeful. Dianne Feinstein being publicly hanged after a trial. That would be love.
Yeah, pay-per-view.
Now listen, not love to her, because what does justice do? Justice gives you what you do. Justice gives you what you do. It would be the greatest expression of love to those of us who have been wounded by her. What a great expression of love that we see the government or whoever the authorities giving justice. That would be love. That would be returning love for evil. That's what that would be.
Sure, we can't show evil as escaping judgment. That's the thing.
Evil is escaping judgment. We just read it. We just read it in Isaiah 56. Made the Lord mad that there wasn't any judgment. Wasn't any justice. So the injustice is everywhere, right? Where's the justice for Kavanaugh? Where's his justice? How will he ever get it? Right? So now we're going to find out. Well, hey, Jared, do me a favor. Go back to that clip of Dianne Feinstein. Boys, I want you to, I'm going to let this play, and I'm going to tell you something. She knows something's coming that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and play it, Jared. You can keep the sound down or keep the sound soft. I want you to look at that.
Coming.
Huh? She knows something's coming that we don't know is coming. You know what it is? It's love. Love's coming. It's a wicked, wicked woman right there. And a great expression of love will be her coming to justice. Look at those eyes. Unbelievable. So ask yourself this. If the scriptures tell us the word to warn the wicked, Pastor Dale, does that mean there are wicked people? And if there are wicked people, does that require judgment on our part to determine whether they're wicked or not wicked? Doesn't that require judgment? Doesn't the Bible say warn the wicked? So to warn the wicked, don't you have to figure out who or what's wicked? And this woman, you know, I know this woman's wicked. She'll do anything to murder a baby.
Mm-hmm.
If a woman, all of you hear me. If a woman will kill an unborn baby, she'll do anything.
Wow.
Wow's right. Wow. Help me close it up. Is that a revelation to anybody but me?
Amen, Coach.
Evil is wicked. Don't return evil for evil. Don't do that. Because in every evil act, there's a victim. And the Lord wants justice for the victim.
Dave,
not give it justice as evil. Yes, sir.
What's the wickedness of everybody lockstep in that party following? How deep is it? That not one person can say, no, what is here is wrong.
But I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I think it's the demon party. Now, listen, you guys know what I think. I don't think the Republicans are better than anybody else. But I'll take Trump's team over her team. I'll tell you that. I'll take Trump's team over her team. And once we eliminate her team, then we'll deal with the other one. But we better whack that thing off at the root, so then we can deal with the other issues that we're dealing with. But to say, as so many Christians say, well, I'm not for either one of them. I can't give my vote to that. Well, I'm going to go pull the lever for every person I can who's not a Democrat. That's what I'm going to do, because I believe that root has to be cut off. Then we'll deal with the other. Have a great weekend. Don't forget tomorrow, JR's got the curtain knock on about the see you at the pool, or meet you at the pool, or pray.gov. That's what it is, govpray.com. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.